morning.
Good morning.
Want to let my glasses unfog a little bit. You know, as you stand up or sit down or move around too much, then all of a sudden there's heavy breathing and then the glasses fog up and I don't know where I am. But I think you're all out there. I heard some noises, so that's good. For those of you who are curious, we're still trying to make it as safe as we can in this space for everyone. The seating is still supposed to be, 6 feet apart, so check yourself. I know spouses, you can sit right next to each other, show all the love you can. But for the others, try and make sure that you're, at least 6 feet apart. The ushers are doing their best to keep us that way. Also, we opened the windows this morning, mostly for ventilation, because if there is, a through draft, then any viruses that happen to be in our midst can be moved away. I asked Ike if we could turn the fans on, but he says that the more the fans are on, it sort of stirs up the virus rather than allowing the particles to simply fall to the ground. We have no doctors in our midst. We have no epidemiologists who are members of Zion, so we are, please be patient. We are all trying to do this for our safety, our group safety, and we pray for God's blessing on our service. So those of you also who are thinking it's getting too packed in the back, there's lots of room up here, just like always. You are all very welcome. Thank you for venturing out. And we also want to remember those who are participating virtually. There are some who stay at home and they listen on the computer, some who stay home and listen to radio programs, and some who watch church programs on television. Let's keep them in mind also this morning as we are here together and throughout the week in our prayers. We are going to start by singing a gathering song, which is usually not the type of song we gather with, number 636 in our hymnal of worship book. This morning, all the songs are from this hymnal of worship book, and you can thank Carla for her choices this morning. However, this one I chose because today is All Saints' Day. So for those of you who forgot that, or who are asking yourselves, who are the saints? We are the saints, as well as all those who have gone before us. So this song is reminding us about all of those saints, present and past, and we are thanking God for them and their labor, as well as asking for blessing on our labor. We are going to sing the first three verses, but notice that on the second page, the song continues to the end. We are not singing that second half. So after the first verse, and you come to the Alleluia on the top of the second page, for verse two, we go right back to page one. So we do that three times. Once you have your masks on, please rise and we'll sing together.
Thank you.
seated. That's quite a nice song, and it sounds good. It's too bad that it's got the heading there that this is for funerals. It's not for funerals only. We are the living saints. But let's put that aside for now. And in light of All Saints' Day, I would like to read a little bit from Hebrews. You can probably predict this. Hebrews chapter 12. I'll read verse 1 and 2 and 22 to 24. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is where we have come this morning. Let's not think we have only come to Zion Mennonite on the corner of Cheadle and Sixth. This is the reminder of what it is we are about when we come here to worship together. On All Saints' Day. I don't know about the rest of you, but I am sick and tired of Halloween and all that goes along with it. So I am ready and exuberantly overjoyed to be celebrating today All Saints' Day. This day, saints are those who teach us how to journey in God's ways. Think about that for a second. All those who teach us, and let's change the word teach because lots of us will cringe and say, I'm not a teacher. All those who encourage us to live in God's way. These are the saints. These that are sitting masked up beside you, in front of you, behind you. You are surrounded by the saints of God. And ultimately, this All Saints' Day is a celebration of Christ's victory over death. That's what today is. It's just like Easter. This should be the second best holiday of the whole year. You're not quite as excited yet as I am, but that's fine. You'll get there. Don't you worry about that. Let's look together at our bulletin where the call to worship is printed. We'll read it together. Well, not really together. I'll read the first line, and then you read the dark print. Praise God. Sing a new song, all you who love God. Let us praise God's name with dancing. Let us make music with instruments of all kinds.
God loves the people and honors those who are humble.
The faithful ones can be happy and sing for joy.
They can celebrate as they help and unite.
God will turn the world upside down and bring honor to the saints who are faithful and true. Come, let us worship God. Please bow for prayer. Loving God, we, your saints, gather to worship and praise you this day. We celebrate the saints who have served you and been an example for us throughout the past. We give you thanks for the joy of being a part of the communion of saints with those who have gone before and those scattered around the globe. Open us to your Spirit to continue being the saints you have called us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's continue singing the praise songs, all in the hymnal worship book. We'll start with number 11 and then number 46. We are singing all of the verses, so you don't have to pay too terribly much attention. Number 11, first of all. And once you are ready, please stand. Now turn a few pages to number 46. I sing the mighty power of God.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As you may remember, although the calendar says it's already November, today we are celebrating the final day of our International Witness Support Month. And so that offering has been taken, and we will now pray for the blessing of that offering. In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, everlasting life. As an act of praise and thanksgiving, let us share our gifts with and through the body of Christ. We offer our whole selves to you, O God, creator of everything. It's a joy and a blessing to share our gifts with one another. As we offer these things for the work of your church, help us to be mindful of all that we can do together as the body of Christ. Amen. And you get to sing again. Everything is so much more condensed in this new fashion. You gotta pay attention, otherwise you'll miss something. Again, the hymnal of worship book, number 522, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Mask up and stand up, please.
This is a significant day for all of us here today in the fact that it's also Reformation Sunday. The Reformation began 503 years ago this weekend, and we're all part of that.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for calling us to be your children. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that continues to lead and guide us day by day as we live out the salvation that you have provided for us. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are thankful and we are grateful. But help us not only keep it to ourselves, teach us ways that we can naturally share this good news with others. Thank you for the wonderful opportunities that we have had, exemplified in this bulletin, ways that we can share with one another, share love. Share your love that flows through and out of us to others. Teach us continuously how to love our neighbors. And especially on this All Saints Day and on this recognition of Reformation Sunday, we thank you for those who have gone before us and taught us things and trained us, or who were even further behind in our history that we can't put a face to, but we recognize because of their faithfulness, we are here today, worshiping you, trusting you, and passing on this faith to the next generation. Thank you for all of the ways that we have to serve you within this church community, within the community of Swift Current. And we pray for those elections which have already happened here, which are yet to occur. And we pray for all of our leaders, big and small. All of these different kinds of positions that we sometimes overlook. We pray for those in leadership inside the church and outside the church. We pray for the other churches. We pray for Eastside Church of God, and we also pray for Grace Mennonite in PA. It's easy to pray for happy and good things, and we know that you hear us. And sometimes when our prayers don't automatically change things, we wonder how effective they are. We bring that before you. We confess that we are weak and that maybe we don't understand exactly what prayer is. But because you invited us to, we come. We come to you and we bring you the issues at hand, the things that are on our minds, the things that bother us. We pray for the elections in the United States and all of those things that surround that. We pray for those who are struggling against fires. Pray for the firefighters and all of those who are fleeing for their very lives, and for those who have fled and come back and found their homes gone. We pray that you would raise up warriors to fight for the well-being of their neighbors, to demonstrate your love and your care and your generosity in helping out, even for people they don't know. We pray for those who are struggling with hurricanes and flooding. We pray for those who have suffered this earthquake in Greece and Turkey, and we pray that you would guide the leadership in those areas to work together, not struggle only for their own positions of power and authority. We pray for our congregational meeting coming up. It might seem like a drop in the bucket, but we do pray that you would help us to recognize our responsibility here, as well as our desire to work together to show love of neighbor first and foremost. That we would not be struggling against each other, but that we would be united, one spirit, one body. In all of these things, as well as all of those things that are on our minds and our hearts this morning, we bring them to you. In the silence of these moments, we bring them to you. The things that we don't even confess to ourselves, we bring them to you. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would be urging and nudging us throughout the week, not only when we sit here in the pews, but everywhere we are, that we would be recognizing your presence with us in all that we do and all that we are. And with these things in mind, we come boldly, just the way you taught your disciples to pray. We pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Just before I invite Dan to come up and share, I will read the scripture that is noted there, Matthew chapter 22. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Matthew chapter 22. I'll read verses 34 to 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I welcome Dan Siebert to speak to us now.
Well, good morning to you all. It's really good to be worshiping with you today and to share some things that the church and MCC are doing together to be witnesses of God's love to the world. It seems like I come to this church once in the blue moon. At least that's what we had last night. And singing one of the songs this morning, it says, "The moon shines full at his command." And it certainly did that last night. It was so beautiful. And even this morning as I was waking up, it was still shining in the window from the west. It was gorgeous. This morning, I'd like us to think a bit about the church. Who are we? What are we here for? And how do we make an impact in our world? I know this is a tall order, and many sermons have been preached on many aspects of the topic, so I will just brush on the surface or boil it down to a few points, and then I'd like to share how our involvement in MCC fits into one of those points. Why do people meet together as a church? Does COVID stop us from being the church? Or does it get us to relate to people in new and interesting ways? Just the other day, I felt God put a person on my mind that I hadn't talked with in maybe a year or so. So I gave him a call, and we talked at some length. I don't think he's a believer yet. So I want to state what I think the purpose of the church is. From my reading through the Bible just the other day, I ran across the verses from Mark, which are very similar to the ones that Lois just read. Mark 12, verse 30 and 31. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And the second is this: "Love your neighbor as yourself." And again, this is stated again in Matthew 22. Then in Matthew 28, Jesus gives us what we call the Great Commission. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." And then Acts 1, verse 8 says, "And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So here we have it boiled down. Three aspects of our purpose on earth. Well, maybe two, and one expounded a bit. One, love God. Two, love people. And in loving people, make disciples, and be witnesses of Jesus Christ in all the corners of the world. Isaiah 42, verse 7 gives us the reason why we are here in the first place. It says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." So we are here for his glory. We're created for his glory. This is loving God. Are we growing in a love for him that encapsulates our entire being? So what do we do as a church? We worship. This is part of loving God. We sing praises. We pray. We commune with him, as we have done this morning. Something special happens in us when we worship. What else do we do? We encourage one another to love God. And we love each other. We build one another up in the faith, and we train people and develop leaders. We share what we've learned. How do we know we love God and people? We talk about what we love all the time. My life mirrors what God is doing inside of me. Maybe I talk about the farming, about the good crop that we had this year. Maybe I just can't quit talking about trucks or cars or the latest IT stuff. Maybe I even talk about God and what he's doing in my life or in the world. And another thing we do is we encourage each other in mission. We get the message out that Jesus takes away the sins of the world, and that each person can have a relationship with him. Right along with that message is the good news that the followers of Christ care about our fellow human beings. We love people. We prepare for acts of service, and then we do them. We care about our neighbor who is having a down day, and we might make a phone call. We care about the displaced, those driven from their homes by conflict, inviting refugees, whatever. Those who have not had sufficient rains to grow the crops they need to feed their families. Those who have had a loss of income. You might say, that world is so big and the needs are so great, I can't go over there and help them. Well, this is where MCC comes in. We do together what we can't do alone. Grandma Rickert puts in $20 or $100, and that joins with a $5 purchase at the thrift store. Add a youth group packing relief kits, a partner overseas, and God's work is enhanced. Now, I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, because you people are some of the best supporters of MCC I've seen. You probably know MCC's vision statement. If not, I'll just read it quickly. I really actually know it off by heart. MCC, a worldwide ministry of Anabaptist churches, shares God's love and compassion for all in the name of Christ by responding to basic human needs and working for peace and justice. MCC envisions communities worldwide in right relationship with God, one another, and creation. So this is our centennial year, and we've done some celebrating. I know you made a lot of blankets in January, extra fundraising, but many of the plans and projects were canceled or changed or put on hold. But there are also some things happening. I'd like to now have Ike play a video that was produced by MCC Canada. Rick Kober-Bauman is speaking in there. He's
in 1920, of course,
director.
Southern Russia was in the midst of incredible chaos. World War I was over, but the revolution in Russia had meant that there was really nobody giving order to the communities. and Mennonite families experienced a triple disaster, a typhus epidemic, serious food shortages, and quite horrific violence. It was out of that that they turned to their sisters and brothers and cousins in the US and Canada. There was a response. Then in March of 1922, people began to have good food served to them when they had been baking with thistles and eating small rodents. From the trains, when you pull into stations, you could hear people as they shuffled to the cars saying, "Bread, in God's name, bread." This was the plea that MCC was responding to. They thought it was temporary, but it was the beginning of a century of Mennonite Central Committee.
Now, this is indeed a historic moment. As they come to the windows to see the ship, for many of them the first time, they fold their hands in gratitude. They lift up their children to see it. All this means new beginning, new beginning.
Thousands of Mennonite people left what became Ukraine, came to Canada. They were the ones who were able to support what became a flood of Mennonite refugees leaving Europe after World War II. Those people become core, backbone supporters of Mennonite Central Committee. People who talk about how absolutely vital MCC was to their family survival. That has placed in them a deep, deep loyalty to this whole sense that we are called. We have this invitation to respond to the needs of the world in much the same way as we were touched generations ago. Part of the story of Mennonite Central Committee is recognizing that they wanted to and were called to respond to a much larger family than their own Anabaptist family. So there was the rebuilding in Europe after World War II, the beginnings of the notion of fair trade. There was Mennonite Disaster Service, which eventually became its own agency. There was the Teachers Abroad program, where young teachers were sent to dozens of countries around the world, especially in Africa, to contribute to an emerging education system. There was also this realization that often the very best work we could do would be undone in a moment by violence. Only when there is peace and stability in communities do development projects have a chance to be birthed and then to thrive. I've been struck recently, as we are entering our centennial, by the dogged determination, the persistence that was shown by people who were invited to carry out this effort to respond to Mennonites that were really stranded in South Russia. And it was more than a year and a half from that first effort before the first feeding kitchens were actually set up in Kortitsa in March of 1922. I often think that at any point, had someone given up, we wouldn't have a story. We wouldn't have a Mennonite Central Committee centennial.
One of MCC's purpose is to accompany the church and other partners. Often our partner on the ground is a church. I take you first to Ukraine, where the New Hope Church was established by John and Ev Wiens through MBMS, which is Mennonite Brethren Missions and Services, now Multiply. John is no longer alive, but the pastor there now tells how John taught a holistic gospel. We want to have people encounter God, but also meet them in times of physical need. Every week, they take a van out to the war area and minister to people there. That's canned meat that he's got. They also started the New Hope Center, where children come to get remedial help, and often parents learn how to be better parents. In North Korea, blankets that you have made are used in hospitals and sometimes given to mothers with small children. Several years ago, Carol and I were privileged to go on a learning tour to Colombia. Here we saw MCC work alongside the church like I'd never seen before. At that time, Bogota was a city of about 8 million people. And during the 1990s, my brother Harold and his family were there as missionaries, first in Medellin and then in Bogota. In the late 90s, the mission board withdrew their people, leaving the work to nationals. And one of the purposes of our visit, that is, we were all Mennonite brethren leaders of some kind, was to encourage our sisters and brothers and remind them that they have not been forgotten. Carol and I stayed with a single lady and in conversation found out that she had been discipled by my sister-in-law, Dorothy. And now she was an MB pastor there. A lot of poorer people and internally displaced people live in the southern side of the city known as Kazuka. And there the gangs are violent, single mothers often have to work long hours, and life is difficult. This is where David and Marina have chosen to work. And I must say, he had a great career going and just decided to become a pastor there. Very well accepted. They have a daycare, a school, a sewing center for moms, all with the help of MCC gifts and with the help of service workers. We learned later that due to safety reasons, they had to leave the area, at least for a time. Then we flew to the Chocó, which is the farthest west province of Colombia. It has a history of warring military factions, usually over land. The paramilitary, the government troops, and the peasant guerrillas. Here we greeted the church from our Canadian brothers and sisters and fellowshipped with them. Finally, we put a face to one of the statistics, an internally displaced person named Jose. A paramilitary group arrived in his village holding 73 families hostage. And for 2 days, they endured constant threat of death, accused of supporting an opposing military group. With their lives in balance, a brave brother from his church challenged their captors to release them, underlining his community's innocence. Miraculously, they were released, but had to flee with only the clothes on their backs and shouts from their captors, "Don't come back or you will be killed." They fled along the river for 15 kilometers, got caught in a crossfire with other military groups, but thanks be to God, no one got killed, he said. They arrived in the neighboring village homeless but not hopeless. There, the church took them in and helped them get reestablished. Jose, this man in his 70s, says, "Thanks be to God." He told us that he was a pastor and had come to Christ through the early missionaries from Saskatchewan, Canada. We traveled to the red zone, accessible only by boat. Here the church and MCC have set up Weaving Hope, a rice processing plant, and a cacao nursery to give farmers an alternative to growing coca for the cocaine industry. Rather, coca for chocolate. Jesus Palacios, who manages the agriculture program, says, "Helping families increase their income and live in dignity is part of the mission of the MB Church in Chocó." This is Rutilio, a trusted church leader in Chocó. He's an advocate for peace and reconciliation who has done mediation in Panama. He says, "Jesus didn't just teach, he lived out holistic gospel. We're not only called to preach the word, but also find alternatives and help people who are marginalized or people who are poor and in need. We believe that peace isn't just an absence of war, but that peace means having adequate life conditions for people. So if we can help people live better, then we're building peace." Back to South Africa, Durban, South Africa. Here, MCC partners with a church to provide daycare and a Head Start program for working parents, especially mothers. In Johannesburg, MCC partners with Hillbrow Brethren in Christ Church to minister to people living in poor conditions in Soweto. That stands for Southwest Township, a black suburb of Johannesburg. And this is my last slide, a picture of Reverend Ibrahim Nasser in Aleppo, Syria, standing in front of the site where his congregation worshiped before the building was bombed. Being a pastor in this crisis is not as much about preaching as it is being with people in their difficult time, he says. MCC works through the Fellowship of Middle East Evangelical Churches, supporting the church's work in meeting urgent needs and distributing food. Water for a family of five costs about $300 a month. How can we join the work? Many or most of you already have. I noticed on your website you've raised a substantial amount of cash, over $6,000 for MCC, and you're continuing with donations for soup, I see in the bulletin. Carol and I, along with some of our neighbors, wanted to do what we could. So we donated the use of 125 acres for Grow Hope for Canadian Food Grains Bank. We experienced an abundant harvest of 47 bushels per acre net, sold it for $11 a bushel, yielding over $64,000 gross before government grants. Thanks be to God. There are still some acres left to be sponsored for input costs, and if you're interested, just go to growhopesk.ca. Thanks for inviting us. Thanks for volunteering at the thrift store, for your blanket making, for your donations to MCC. We couldn't do it without you. We are the church. Lord, thank you for this group of disciples who are interested in being your church, who show their love for you and their neighbor. Bless them as they go through this week, building relationships, caring for each other, and enjoying your abundance. Amen.
Thank you for coming and sharing. We never get tired about hearing what MCC is doing. In response, let's take our hymnal of worship book and turn to number 599, He Leadeth Me. 599, with your masks on, please rise. We'll sing all the verses.
Thank you.
Please bow for the benediction. Go in peace to be the saints of God. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And may the God of Jesus Christ give you a spirit of wisdom that you might come to know the hope to which you have been called as the saints of God. Amen.
Podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P. All rights are reserved.